book of Genesis and the chapter number 37. That's Genesis 37. And we read some verses from this passage of God's Word. And we commence reading there at the verse number 5 of Genesis chapter 37. Or Genesis 37 and commencing to read at verse number 5. 37 and it is verse number 5. Let's follow the reading of God's holy and God's precious and God's infallible Word together, please. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence. For I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to his infallible truth for his name's sake. Let's just bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee once again that we're gathered round thy book, and we pray that thou wilt take of thy precious word and that thou wilt write it upon our hearts. We pray that our God, that thou wilt instruct us as we search the scriptures together. We pray that, O God, as we do so, that, O God, there will not only be instruction for our lives, but that, O God, we will truly hear thy voice saying to us, This is my way, walk in it. In other words, having received the instruction, O God, help us to be willing doers. Help us to go at thy command. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt just bless us now and cover the meeting afresh in the precious blood. And may we sense thy holy presence afresh this day. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want you to keep your Bibles open here in this 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. And you'll remember that we were studying this a few, two Sundays ago. And as we were looking at the story of Joseph and the hatred of his brothers that was certainly in their hearts, we find that Joseph dreamed two dreams. And if you look there in verses number 5, it commences, And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told us to his brethren. And so we find here Joseph dreaming. And in actual fact, I believe that the dreams that Joseph had here were revelations from the Lord. Because you see, in those days, in Joseph's day, There was no revelation. There was no complete word of God that he had in his hand. And therefore God would speak to his children in wonderful ways, in dreams and in visions. In actual fact, I was just thinking about that. And if you turn your Bible, just keep your hand there. Turn to the book of Matthew and the chapter number 1. And you'll see this is how God, even in those early days there, in the book of Matthew, in chapter number 1, it says in verse number 19 concerning Joseph. It's another Joseph. It's Joseph who was the husband of Mary. And it says there in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Then if you turn over into the second chapter of this same book of Matthew's Gospel, you'll find that once again, if you look in verse number 12, because remember that the wise men, they were seeking to come to the Lord Jesus, this King of the Jews that was born. And it says in verse number 12, chapter 2, and being warned of God in a dream, that these wise men should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. Then go down to verse 19 of the same chapter. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel. And so we find here that Joseph, the angel of the Lord, appeared unto Joseph of the New Testament. And he had dreams, and they were directing him what to do. He was troubled about taking Mary because she was an expectant woman. And the angel of the Lord dispelled his fears and told him not to fear to take unto himself Mary to be his wife, but indeed to take her, because that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. Then the Lord appeared to Joseph again, the angel of the Lord, and told him to go down into Egypt because of the danger, because indeed Herod was seeking the life of the male children to destroy the Lord Jesus. And then when Herod was dead, once again in a dream, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. And so the people of Joseph's day in the Old Testament and Joseph's day in this particular part in the New Testament, that God spoke to them in that way, because they did not have the complete written word of the Lord. They hadn't the complete revelation from the Lord. It's interesting also to note, I said when we were looking at the just passing a comment concerning dreams, it suggested that dreams is a product of busyness, and quite often our dreams reflect the things that we're thinking on. Well, you know, that's what the Bible tells us in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1. It says, while he thought on those things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. It was in his mind, that's what he was thinking about whenever he was going to sleep, and he had a dream. My friends, let me tell you, we have the complete revelation of God. So don't you come along and tell me I've had an extra special revelation from the Lord. I hear this nonsense, people talking about this, and they say, you know, I had a dream, and God told me in that dream I was to do this or I was to do that. I want to tell you, my friend, if that's the way that you're going to direct your life, I want to warn you, you've got to be very, very careful. Because the only clear direction that there is for you that you can really move upon and you can go upon with authority is the Word of God. You need the direction of the Lord. Because I can tell you, when everything else has passed, if you haven't had a word from the Lord in His Word. And that's why I say to God's people, if you're looking direction for your life, if you're looking for God to show you what's the next step to take or what to do, search the Scriptures, because God will show you and God will direct you in His precious Word. Now, He uses circumstances to indeed clarify that, but certainly you need a word from the Lord. Because if you haven't a word from the Lord, I can tell you, you will find that there will be days of difficulty. We'll test everything else. But thank God when you have a word from God to stand on, it'll stand every test. Every wind that blows, you will have a word that will stand. And praise God, you'll be able to keep standing, because the word of the Lord is superior to dreams or visions. Because in Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 28, it says, just as the grain is superior to the chaff, so is the word of God superior to the chaff of your dreams or anything else. And so therefore we need a word from God. But Joseph had a dream. In actual fact, he had two dreams. The first one was about binding sheaves. Now, of course, his brother, because they were in the farming industry, they knew exactly what making sheaves were. And, of course, Joseph said, well, listen, I have a dream. And in that dream, he said to my brothers, he said, we were binding sheaves in the field. This was something that was common to them. It was something they could understand. But he says, we were binding sheaves in the field, verse 7 of chapter 37, Genesis. And lo, my sheaf arose, and it stood upright. And of course, he said, your sheaves that were standing about, they bowed down to my sheaf. And then, of course, he said that he had a second dream. And he came back in verse number 9, and he said, listen, I dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, they bowed down to me. And of course, indeed, the sun and the moon, that was the parents or parental responsibility. The 11 stars were very particular because, remember, there were 11 brothers as well. Then Joseph was, there were 12 in the family. And he said, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, they bowed down to me. Now, the Bible tells us that whenever Joseph said these things, look at verse number 8. His brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And so we find that this dream didn't make the situation any better. In this home, this dysfunctional family in many ways, it didn't make it any better. It seemed to make the situation worse, because his brethren knew the meaning right away. They knew the meaning of the dream. And because of that, they said, listen, this meant that you're going to reign over us and that you will have dominion over us. Well, that's exactly what was going to happen. But of course, they didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to know it, because they didn't want this 11th son of the family to reign over the rest of them. They were older than him. Now, some people suggest, well, why did Joseph tell this dream at all? In actual fact, it was a childish simplicity. This was not out of pride that Joseph said, you know, I had a dream and you're all bowing down to me. I don't believe that that's what Joseph said to his brothers. He was telling them the dream that they had. And I'm sure many times you've had a dream that has stuck in your mind, although it's amazing just how quickly they can just go out of your mind whenever you wake up and the dream passed and you're trying to capture what was that all about, and it's just gone. It's gone. Well, he remembered this dream. He remembered this dream, and he told it, I believe, in many ways, in childish simplicity to his brothers. But some say, well, you know, he'd have been wiser if he hadn't. Because to tell his brothers who already hated him, because the Bible tells us they hated him, verse number 4, and they could not speak peaceably unto him. And that was before the dream started. And so therefore, this was adding, as it were, fuel to the fire. And therefore, would Joseph not have been wiser if, even though he knew that this was something special, would he not have been wiser to have kept his mouth closed? Others suggest that Joseph was rather naive in saying and thinking that somehow that these dreams would make the situation better. But I do believe that in Joseph's heart, he sensed that this was of God. He sensed in his heart that this was a message from the Lord. And I believe that he felt that he had a responsibility to tell his family the dream that God had given him. And therefore, as a brother, he was not keeping it from his brothers or from his father, but he felt a responsibility as he believed that this was of God, that this was something to do with the calling of God for him. And just as a young fellow who is called of God into the ministry or called of God to do something special, he would share it with his family, or he would share it with his mom or his dad or his brothers or his brethren in Christ. So Joseph shared something that he believed that was very special from the Lord. I was thinking about that, you know, and if you turn over to the book of 1 Samuel. Do you remember the wee boy? He was Samuel in 1 Samuel and the chapter 3. And do you remember the Lord? He came to Eli when he lay down and God spoke to him and God called him. And remember, he went to Eli and said, "Listen, you called me." And Eli said, "No, I didn't call you. Lie down, son. Lie down." Eli was the old priest there, and he was in the temple, and so he lay down. And then the third time, Eli realized, listen, God's speaking to this fellow. This is God calling. Because you see, at this time, Samuel did not know the Lord. He was in the house of the Lord, he was in the temple, but he personally did not know the Lord. And God was calling him personally. He was calling him by name. That's a wonderful thing, friend. When the Spirit of God speaks personally to your heart, you know that this is a message from God, from his precious word. And God's calling Samuel. And so the old prophet said, or the old priest said, "Listen, you lie down." And he said, "Say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." But of course, Samuel didn't say that. He said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Because he couldn't say, "Speak, Lord," for he didn't know the Lord. And so he said, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And God spoke to Samuel. Verse number 11, 1 Samuel chapter 3, "And the Lord said to Samuel," or rather verse 10, "The Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.' And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his son made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offerings forever.' And Samuel lay until the morning. And he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision." I'm sure that young Joseph wondered, "Should I show my father? Should I show the family what God has said to me?" Well, Samuel here, he feared to tell old Eli. And then verse 16, "Then Eli called Samuel and said, 'Samuel, my son.' And he answered, 'Here am I.' And he said, 'What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee?'" I want to know it. What's God got to say? God was calling you. There was an urgency. He called three times. And there's an urgency. There was a message from God, son. I want to know it. "What is this thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also. If thou hide anything from me of all the things that God said unto thee.' And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he, Eli, said, 'It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good.'" Now the message which God gave that day was a message of judgment. And yet old Eli said, "Let the Lord do." He surrendered completely to the Lord. And friend, you and I, you know, we have to surrender to the Lord. You know, sometimes when God speaks to us, God tells us to do things that's not easy. Sometimes God tells us to do things which are not convenient. Sometimes God asks us to do things and there's a sacrifice in them. But are we willing to do what God says? Are we willing to follow what God says? And so here we find young man, Joseph, and God has spoken to him. And I do not believe that this was arrogance on the part of Joseph, right? Then why did what Joseph say, why did it irritate his brothers so much? Let me tell you, my friend, I believe here's the secret. It wasn't the dreams that irritated his brothers. It's what God said in the dreams. It was the message. It wasn't the fact that God was speaking to Joseph in a dream. It was what God said in the message. Because this message not only had a message for Joseph, it had got a significant message for his brothers. What I'm saying is this. I believe that whenever Joseph went to his brothers and he told them his dreams, I believe that his motivation was right. He had a right motivation. And friends, let me tell you, it is right that we look at our motivation, at the things we do, at the things we say. Because remember, it's not what goes into the belly that defiles a man. It's what that comes out. Because what comes out from the heart. It proceeds from the heart. And so therefore it is important. And therefore what comes out, friend, there is a motivation of what comes out. Is it a motivation for godliness? Is it a motivation of spite? Because out of the heart proceeds these things. And it is a motivation. And what Joseph said to his brothers. Yes, the word of God says this. That they hated him the more. Verse number 8, the last line. And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. That's true. They hated him more. But it wasn't the dreams they hated. It was the fact of the message. You know, no doubt, his brothers were acquainted to the sheaves. And Joseph's standing upright, and they're bowing down, and that would be resented. Here's a boy, he's 17 years of age. Here's a young lad, his mother's gone, his mother's dead. He's only got father to look after him now. He's got a wee baby brother. He's number 11 in the family, and he's telling us that he's standing upright, and we are bowing down to him. Who does he think he is? But this was a message from God, friend. And I can tell you this. You look at this carefully. Man did everything to prevent the fulfillment of those dreams. But God fulfilled them. Man did everything else he could do to stop it. They even came to the place, friend, let me tell you, where his brothers were willing to slay him. Just to stop the fulfillment of the dreams. It would do anything. It didn't matter what it is. They were willing to stoop to anything to stop their brother. And hurt their brother. Sad to say, that's a reality also in this day and generation too. That people are willing to do anything to hurt a brother. Or hurt a sister. Or hurt the cause of Christ. They'll do anything. Because they were filled with themselves. But no matter what they did, friend, God fulfilled the dreams. God fulfilled his purpose. And then you can't stop the eternal purpose of God and the sovereign purpose of an almighty God. For thank God, they were fulfilled to the final degree. You read the story, friend. And when you read the story from Genesis chapter 37 right to the last chapter of Genesis, what do you find? That man could not stop God's prediction or God's provision or God's plan. Do you know what the Word of God says in Mark 13:31? Heaven and earth may pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You can be dead sure of it. God won't fail his word. God will not fail his promise. Now let's go very quickly here. I want you to notice that not only do his brothers, but his father reacted. Look at this. Verse number 10. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And the word of God says, and his father rebuked him. His father rebuked him. And his father said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee and to the earth? And his brethren envied him. But mark this again. But his father observed the saying. So there's two things that the Bible tells me concerning his father. First of all, it says his father rebuked him. And then it says his father observed him. He observed the saying. Now, let me tell you. See that word rebuke? That the father rebuked him. That does not mean that he said, son, I don't want to hear any more about it. Don't want to hear any more about it. Now, just keep quiet. That would have been a mild rebuke. The word there in the original actually means to scream at. To scream at. It was a sharp rebuke. A real sharp rebuke. His father rebuked him. It wasn't just simply a little slap, as it were, along the knuckles and say, don't do that again. So I don't want to hear about that again. No, the Bible says the father rebuked him. It was very sharp. And yet what he told them was what God told them. What he told them was what God told him. And now his father is really screaming at him. You say, you know, that often happens. You remember the relationship between this boy and his father. Go back to verse number 3. And Israel loved Joseph. He loved him more than all his children. He loved him. The relationship between this boy and his dad, it was a loving relationship. And now his father's screaming at him, rebuking him, because of what God has revealed to him. You know, I believe, friend, that sharp rebuke hurt Joseph that day. Because all Joseph was doing was saying, Dad, this is what God told me. This is what God revealed to me. And he was hurt that day. You know why he was hurt? I believe he was hurt not because his brothers hated him, because he knew that. He had experienced that. He had lived with that. But the rebuke he got that day was from an unexpected source. He never expected it from his father. He never expected from old godly Israel, the Prince with God. And that hurt him deeply. You know, why did the father do it? There's some suggestions as why the father did it, friend. The father knew that these dreams had stirred up trouble in the family because the brothers hated him. And he knew that these dreams, he already hated them because of the coat that father had given him. Remember? The coat of many colors. The sign of his position in the family, although he was one of the younger sons. The father had chosen him for a special place of leadership in the family, and that had caused problems. And some suggest, listen, father was trying to keep the trouble down. Father was trying to, as it were, even it out. Because he knew that his brothers were angry. Some other commentators tell us that his father, in actual fact, rebuked him because he, deep in his heart, he knew that what God was going to do, yes, but he didn't want Joseph to be haughty. He didn't want Joseph to be proud or to behave in an unacceptable manner. And sometimes, you know, when God does call people to a special thing, and God gives you a special appointment, people lose themselves. You get carried away. You think somehow there's something in them. It's not the calling of God, that somehow God has called them because God needs him or God needs them. Instead of in the sovereign purpose of God, that God has ordained or God has chosen to take the nothings of this world to bring to naught the things that are. But whatever the reason why the Father rebuked him, notice the other thing that the Word of God says. Verse 11. His Father observed the same. And the meaning of that word simply means his Father laid it up in his mind. He laid it up in his mind. He kept it. He retained it. He preserved it in his mind. Do you remember what it says concerning Mary? That Mary kept all these sayings and she pondered them in her heart. She didn't say much. But she never forgot what God had said. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples whenever he washed their feet? He said this. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And brethren and sisters, let me tell you, sometimes there are things that come into my life or your life and we don't understand. Little word, why? Why has God sent that? Why has God allowed that? It seems to be a reverse. It seems to be it has turned life upside down. Whether it be sickness, whether it be circumstance, whether it be in the family, whether it be financial, whatever it is, somehow it has turned life upside down. And we don't understand why that has happened or why did I get myself to this place? And then, why did God allow this? Why did God allow me to do this or do that or not do this or not do that? And when we don't fully understand, friend, and I don't believe that Joseph understood, why was he going to, why did his father scream at him? And I was only telling you what God told me. Why did you rebuke me in front of my brethren? Why they're away happy because I'm cut down because of what God said? Friends, there are times we don't understand. You say, what do I do when I don't understand, preacher? I'll tell you what you do. You trust. There's a brother in this meeting this morning, and a few weeks ago I sat at the side of his bed and I was reading to him Psalm 37. And the circumstances of that gathering, as we just sat together, friend, and to be honest, the circumstances were one that he did not understand, neither did I. And yet is what God says in Psalm 37. God says, trust in the Lord. God says, trust me. Trust me. And all over this congregation, there are young people. And maybe there are things and trials that nobody knows anything about in your life. Maybe there are circumstances that are you're involved in this present moment. Or mums and dads. And there are situations in your body or your life or your family. And all of these things. And you stand in amaze and you don't understand. And listen, Jacob or Israel didn't understand. But he observed them. He laid it up in his mind. He pondered them in his heart. And he left them with God. And in that psalm, it says we're to trust in the Lord. In that Psalm 37, it says we're to delight in the Lord. Ourselves in the Lord. We are to commit our ways unto the Lord. We are then to rest in the Lord. We are to wait on the Lord. And I suggest you today go back to that psalm and read it again. Because it starts with these words, "Fret not thyself." In other words, don't let it burn up inside you. Don't let it burn up inside you. But do what God says when you don't understand. And here were brothers, and they said, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us?" What were these brothers doing, friend? They were stubbornly resisting the will of God. "Will you reign over us? Who do you think you are?" All Joseph was, friend, was God's servant. He's Israel's son. He was God's servant. And God had a plan for him. And God has a plan for his people. And God has a plan for your life. And God has a plan for my life. And God wants us to fulfill the plan. But his brothers didn't want. They didn't like the plan. They resisted the plan. They wanted to cast aside the plan. "We don't want you to rule over us." Is that not what the children of Israel said concerning Jesus? What did they say? "Away with him. Away with him. We will not have this man to rule over us." Can I ask you a question this morning? Who is ruling over you? Who's on the throne of your life this morning? Who's directing your paths? Is the Savior? Is it self? You know, in reality, if it is self, then it's Satan. And just as they cried long ago, "Away with Jesus. I don't want Jesus to rule over me. I don't want him to rule over my heart and life. There is no place for Christ in my life." Many have lived like that. And there are people in the service today. And you have rejected the rulership of Christ in your life. You've never received him as your Savior and your Lord. We've looked at Joseph's dreaming thread. And we're going to move next occasion to his brother's schemings. Because that's what follows on. Joseph's dreamings move to the brother's schemings. But you need to look at the context. One day the father said, "Joseph, Joseph." "Yes, Father." "I want you to go to Shechem. And I want you to go to see if it be well with your brethren." See if God said that to some of us. Then, the boys that tried to hurt me, the boys that hate me. What do you want me to do, Dad? "I want you to go to see if it be well with them. I want you to look after their welfare." I tell you, that takes grace. Do you know what he said? He said, "Father, here am I. Here am I." I think it's lovely, isn't it? You see, even though, and there's this thought I'm finished. Even though I'm sure that night whenever he lay down in his bed, and it went through Joseph's head, "Why did Dad rebuke me like that? Why did Dad hurt me with those words? Among my brethren, And let me tell you, sometimes hurt turns to hatred. All right? Be honest. And when somebody hurts you, it can get to the place where you could even nearly hate them. And now his father says, Joseph, I want you to go and see if it's well with him. He didn't say, no, Father, I can't do that. No. They hate me. Listen, he had every reason to say no, humanly speaking. But he had no reason to say no. Because his father said, go. And friend, you and I have no reason to live in spite or hatred. You and I have got to be willing to let go and let God have his way in all of our lives and do the will of our Father. Will we? You'll give the answer, and so will I. I wonder what we'll say. Father, here am I. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, you're teaching us in our lives. Lord, you're teaching me. And I pray that as I read this book and as I study this book, that I might hear thy voice. Yes, Lord, again, this is my way. Walk ye in it. Father, thou knowest it takes great grace. But then, Heavenly Father, thou dost give great grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. And for those that know not the Lord Jesus and cry out, I will not have this man to rule over me. Oh God, speak afresh to their hearts and call them to repentance, salvation, peace, pardon. For Jesus' sake. Amen.